Individual speakers and callers, and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. My format is as usual. On Mondays, it's business and economics that affect Fairbanks and the state of Alaska. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanks and pioneer local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday, it's all about Fairbanks, what we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks. Give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. We are at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, today is a Tuesday. My guest, Mr. Representative Prax, was not able to call in. He had a meeting in Juneau. So we will carry on without him and discuss things from the political world. It's a political year, that's for sure. And tonight, if you listened, the State of the State speech from Governor Dunleavy. It's an annual event. It happens tonight. It's usually that first Tuesday after the legislature convenes, and he will be giving a speech tonight. You can probably catch it, parts of it on TV, radio, things like that. But he gives an overall address of what's going on, what his administration is trying to do, where he believes the state of Alaska is at. And look for the nuances in the speech, you know, certain things like the dividend, what he's looking at for that. He gives the budget. He presents the budget to the state of Alaska. And that, you ever want to follow what an administration is doing, follow a budget. Now, I've not looked at their budget this year, but he submits a budget. And then it goes to the House and then the Senate. There's two sets of that budget. There's the operations budget, which is the largest part of it, and then there's the capital budget. Capital budget for the last 5 years has basically been zero balanced, only at matching funds for state road, federal road projects. Whereas the operating budget has increased, and it's the nature of that beast. It was interesting to see that Governor Walker, when he came in, he cut the dividend, and he cut the capital budget, but he increased the operating budget. So that's our tell. What will the operating budget be versus the capital budget? Over the last few years, revenue's gone up. A little bit more oil and a little bit higher price for the price of oil. And how many times do we hear we have to diversify our revenue stream? Well, we have diversified it with taking percentage of market value payments from our permanent fund. So that's diversified it. Thank goodness, because otherwise it would be catastrophic on our budget amount. So be thinking about that. And be thinking, what are their priorities? What's a person's priority, what they're going to be doing, how they're going to be doing it, and taking a look at it. Now, the governor, he wants to separate the health and social services into two branches. that is by, I wouldn't say by far, but it is the largest branch of government that we have. They take up one third of the budget. Education takes up just about another third. And then the remainder of it, the remainder of the budget takes up the other third. So should we have two branches of health and social services? You know, you have Medicare, Medicaid, and all that fun stuff. And then you have prisons and, you know, Department of Corrections. And one person who reviews all that and oversees all that, that gets interesting. It's very diversified. It's not that the amount of the budget, it's diversity of what they have to do. So, anyway, that should be fun. Now, over the next month, then we'll have Senator Murkowski. She'll come in and give her speech as she does every year. We'll have Senator Sullivan come in and give an address, as will House Representative Don Young. It's a political year. You have 59 out of 60 Senate and House seats up for election or re-election with the redistricting. You have governor and lieutenant governor statewide. You have the U.S. House of Representatives seat up, and you have U.S. Senate seat up. So, boy, if you had a radio station like Perry Wally, your advertising would be coming in a lot this year. Now, it's going to be a long year. Hopefully, everyone's patient and we get through this. And, boy, that first Wednesday in November, we'll all be thankful when it gets here, because that's when all the advertising for political people will be over. So, boy, are we looking forward to that. Now, we have on our local races here, we have District 31, which is basically the old District 1, including a little bit on South Cushman, a little bit near the Lakeview Terrace Court area. That is the incumbent in that House race is Bart LeBon. He is running again. No one else has thrown their hat into that race. Bart won last time overwhelmingly. He won his first race by one vote. Remember that? A single vote. He beat Assembly Member, Presiding Officer Catherine Dodge by a single vote. Then he handily won a re-election by about 800 votes in 2020, and he is running again in 2022. No one else has come in to run against him. So that's not going to be what I call an open seat race. District 32, it's currently occupied by Representative Mr. Thompson. Steve has occupied that seat now, goodness gracious, 12, 14 years. And he has chosen not to run for re-election. So far, two people have announced that they are running for that. And District 32, which is the old District 2, a very Republican, right-oriented area. And with redistricting, it increased it even more. First of all, it has Fort Wainwright in it, and during a presidential year, they vote a lot. During a non-presidential year, they don't vote a lot. So this race will not be a big one. But this also is going to have a primary. Are they going to take who are the top four vote-getters in the primary and have them run? Now, Aaron Gibson and Will Stepp, they are both dominated in the right-hand side of politics. They're not the left-hand side, they're the right-hand side. They match up with that district very well. So we'll see if anyone else gets involved in it. They basically took the old District 2, and that went to the east from the Steese Expressway basically going due east to Lackloy Road, Lackloy Hill. And they expand that all the way to the inside, the western side of Badger Road. So that's going to have more Republicans, more independent voters who vote on the right-hand side of the ballot. So that's going to be whoever wins that one, we'll see what happens. But first, we are going to take a commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. You have anything on your mind? Give me a call.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Your Alaska home takes care of you. The Woodway helps you take care of your home with wood, gas, and oil stoves to warm your home and tools for Alaskan living. Clear your way through winter with outdoor power equipment by Honda, Husqvarna, and Steel snowblowers, chainsaws, ultra-quiet generators to protect your power supply or lighting your worksite. Find other specialty tools, sawmills, and winches as well at The Woodway on College Road. Living your life the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
Oh, we love our cars.
It's kind of a squeak, squeak sound.
Yeah, the engine makes a tick, tick, tick noise.
It's got no heat, and it's winter.
It goes bump, bump, bam.
It seems to be leaking something.
Problems we've all had with our cars. So get it to Pearson Auto with their state-of-the-art facility. They'll quickly diagnose the problem and get your rig humming along again. Only from Pearson Auto. Off the Rich near North Pole and in West Fairbanks by the airport. Pearson Auto, your dealership alternative.
Hey, why is this light on?
Hey, Fairbanks, North Pole. There are burn rules and alerts to keep you, your neighbors, and your buddies safe and healthy on bad air days. A stage 1 alert means no burning without a waiver. A stage 2 alert means no burning unless you have a no other source of heat waiver. Remember, no burning until the alert is over. There's more info at fnsbairalert.com. A message from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Cooper and Bridgestone Tires for everything you tow and every car, truck, motorhome, and SUV you drive. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Overcast today with a chance of scattered snow showers. Daytime highs approaching 29. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow again tonight. Lows dip down to about 9 below. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching zero. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here. We are kicking around this Tuesday. If you have anything on your mind, we have the beginning of the political season, and it kicks off tonight with our state government, the State of the State speech from Governor Dunleavy, and it's usually, you know, a 20 to 30 minute item, highlights what he believes is important, his outline for the state, and then you will immediately have people on the opposite side of the aisle say how not good what he wants to do is and the direction, and it's just politics. So, just put it at that. What he does with the budget, this is what's interesting. Take a look at what a governor gives out as a budget, and he submits. And by the time it's all said and done, by the time it gets to the House and the Senate, and then after the governor has made his deletions, it hasn't changed that much. It really hasn't. So they all get a crack at the budget, and this is where it starts. They're starting to get committees going right now, which is good. But in District 32, which is basically from the Steese Expressway West, that's an open seat. That's going to be an interesting race. You have two very fine people. Maybe other fine people will jump in. We'll see. But you have Aaron Gibson, city council member, will step, veteran, hard worker. And again, there's a primary. So in the primary, they take the top four people, and then they put those top four people in there. District 33, Mike Prox. He was appointed by Governor Dunleavy. He's done a very admirable job. And what you look at is you look at the district, how it's made up with the type of voters, what they believe is important, what's their priority. And Bart LeBon, he represents Fairbanks very well. His mentality, just a very fine person. Steve Thompson, he's represented his area well. Mike Prox, he very well the North Pole area where he's at. That area wants a full dividend, and he's been after a full dividend. And that's what representative government is about. Who do I represent? They might have a different philosophy than mine, but guess what? It's their philosophy. I represent them. I'm answerable to them. This is what I do. And he does that very well, as does Bart LeBon in District 1. Then we have going into District 34. This is where it doesn't get interesting. It gets downright entertaining. We have, this was an area that had a lot of variations from the redistricting board. And it's currently having a cat fight from the Hopkins family. They, Grier's parents and aunts and uncles don't want him getting knocked out. So they're wanting the borough assembly to take a position with the U.S. State Supreme Court on this. So what's happened in that district is, and every district gets changed, and there's some districts that this gets changed a lot, and this was one of them. You have a district now that goes from the beginning of top of Farmers Loop there at the golf course, down Farmers Loop, out in the Fox. And then it goes into the Chena Hot Springs area and circles back over to incorporate Moose Creek, Salcha, and Eielson. Now that's become a very right-sided district. Now, Grier and Frank Tomaszewski are both going for this. So this is a very right-sided district, and Grier, by where Grier lives, he's in this district. So this is one to watch. You have the power of the incumbency, that Grier's been there and now, but then again, at the same time, you've had Frank Tomaszewski, who won 2 years ago very largely. He's coming up to his third year. He's on the borough assembly, so he's made a decision. He's not going to run for the borough assembly. He's running for state house, and this is one of those districts that most likely, if Grier can do it, Grier can do it, but most likely this would fall to the right side of the equation. Then you have District 35, and that's Adam Wool's area. Now, this has more, you know, it's more safer for Adam. But is it? Adam had issues last time. He had a pretty strong person who went against him in the primary. Now, this should be interesting and entertaining. This area falls on the left. You have Esther University area, Chena Ridge. This is a strong left-hand side of the equation. But what Adam might find is, was he that far left enough? A lot of people have, from the left side of the equation, have been disappointed with Adam for many things. And so I would not be one of those counting out Adam. He's very astute. He's represented the area very well. Knows what he's doing. And no one else has jumped in yet. And the thing about it is you better, if you're going to run for anything on a statewide basis, you better do it real soon, because right now is your time frame to raise funds. The legislature's convened. A legislator, a person in legislative office, cannot accept any monies right now. I don't know if that's for the governor. I don't think it's for the governor, but for a House member or a senator, they cannot collect monies right now. So if you're running against one or running in an area that does not have an incumbent in it, such as District 32, you should be raising all the money you can, because in April, May, when the legislature adjourns, they're going to come back and start raising money, and that's going to remove some of the money that could flow to you. We're going to take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Good morning, David. This is Don. How you doing?
Good, Don.
Right on. Hey, I've got three things I'd like to lay out there. You said kind of like the beginning of the political season, if you wouldn't mind, if you've got a moment.
Certainly. Yes, we do.
The first thing is, and we've talked a little bit about this before, is I'd like to see the Capitol get out of Juneau. And I think we've passed a vote already to have it move to Willow, Alaska, which would not be a bad choice. It's on the road system. It's on the railway system. And it would be, it would be good. There are other options. Mm-hmm. But I think the problem was funding it. So I'd like to see some of these politicians and see which side are they on to fund the Capitol move or not. Are they for it or are they against it?
Okay.
The other thing I'd like to throw out there, yeah, thank you. The other thing I'd like to throw out there is that I think that the state of Alaska, the Department of Economic Development, if that's the name that it's described with, should start becoming very, very active on local businesses being grown in Alaska, mainly for food supplies and other supplies. Just, not to be a doomsday or anything like that.
Very good point, but look at our stores.
World isn't really unpredictable right now.
Yeah.
That's why we really need some local autonomy. I think when we were growing up, I heard the number was something like we consumed about 70% or 80% of what we consumed up here for food products were from Alaska. And, we had Kramer's Dairy. We had beef and chickens we could still get. There were places and a lot of agriculture was grown up here. Some things we could only get in season, but that was fine. And Alaska really needs to look, especially in the world that we live in today, of becoming a little bit more self-sufficient, just because we are on the far end of a supply chain. And the global supply chain right now is really unpredictable. And the third thing I'd like to see Alaska do is impose, this is going to sound a little bit doomsday or two or kind of heavy, but I'd like to see Alaska impose, and I think the states, different than what we see happening in Australia and Canada, have much stronger rights in this nation, the United States, and I think that Alaska would be wise to impose I'd like to see what people think about it, no vaccination mandates, no passport mandates, and stay away from that kind of stuff up here. We really need to let the economy start to blossom again. These things are hampering it. Very, very controversial. I don't think we're hearing all sides of the science on this kind of stuff. And that, those things have not been well thought out. And if we are going to have any kind of law like that, like, we know that those laws should be passed in the United States Congress, not coming down from the executive branch as a mandate. That's ridiculous in the United States. So if we're going to have anything like that in the state of Alaska and the Congress doesn't want to do it, then it should go through our legislative branch of the government. And that way the people have access to their representatives that are running now, and they can give it feedback bottom up the type of government they should run, a constitutional republic. So
that's a very good point.
Taking some time to thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I want you to call back after our break here, okay? Got some more discussions with you, okay? We're going to take a break right now for the Fox News, state news, and a few other things. And we'll be back after these messages, and hopefully we hear back from Don.
More Problem
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The White House says President Biden does not plan to send unilateral U.S. troops into Ukraine. Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
Just to be clear, there is no intention or interest or desire by the president to send troops to Ukraine. NATO is a forum to support our eastern flank partners and countries, and that's what the focus has been on.
The Pentagon placing several thousand troops on heightened alert as Western nations fear Russia will invade Ukraine. Moscow denies planning an attack. An appeals court in Wisconsin reinstates controversial absentee ballot drop boxes.
A Wisconsin appeals court blocks a lower court's decision from a circuit judge who ruled that ballot drop boxes are illegal. According to state law that says ballots must be dropped off in person or to a clerk's office. Though a ruling, the appeals court says, could confuse absentee voters ahead of the state's primary elections next month.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
In a report in the Fairbanks Daily News Miner, Alaska was one of the first United States to legalize marijuana, but it is among the last states to address old criminal records for simple possession after decriminalizing cannabis. A bill before the Alaska legislature would take the first steps to change that. House Bill 246 could affect thousands of old cases involving arrests and/or convictions. The legislation, which is being discussed in committee, would shield convictions for simple possession from court view and online search engine. Job seekers also could file a petition to have their records removed from background checks by prospective employers. Petitions would be made through the Department of Public Safety. The idea has early bipartisan support. Simple marijuana possession involved charges for having small amounts of cannabis for personal use prior to state decriminalization in 2014. There are people who have simple convictions, but as times have changed and society has changed, these convictions are an impediment for them to become a productive member of society and establish their reputations, said Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins, the bill's sponsor.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
At Batteries Plus, they do more than fix phones and tablets. They help our neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus in-store, curbside, and online at BatteriesPlus.com.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $5. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $5. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day is today, one day only. Medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, just $5. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Science for Alaska lectures are back for the 2022 season. See them live every week on Zoom. You'll learn directly from the scientists as they share their latest research. Launch into the next era of exploration with the Geophysical Institute. Sail the high seas of the Arctic. Visit Alaska's retreating coastal glaciers and much more. Lectures run weekly each Tuesday at 7 p.m. from February 1st through March 8th. View Science for Alaska lectures on Zoom or the Geophysical Institute Facebook page. Don't miss Science for Alaska lectures.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at KFARradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
When friends and family gather, it's time to lift each other up with delicious food and beverage from Tommy G's Meat and Sausage. All their beef is certified Angus beef, making it truly the best of the best. They pride themselves on superior quality, service, and consistency. Whether it's their cowboy cut ribeyes, lamb shanks, or even their ground chuck, you know you're getting the very best in Alaska because there is no other place like this in Alaska. Stop by Tommy G's Meat and Sausage today, 3290 Pegger Road. It's no longer dinner with friends and family, it's an experience.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back. Fairbanks, David Pruse in the studio here. Just me, and had a great phone call from a longtime Fairbanks in there, Don. He brought up some good ideas. Now, Don, here's something I want you to ponder. And this is going to be going back down memory road. And when you talked about the food shortages and seasonal things that we used to get. And here's an example of that seasonal stuff. A good friend of mine who I grew up with, she moved back here this last fall. And she had been gone for, my goodness, 20, 25 years, but she moved back to Fairbanks, Alaska. So she gave me a call one day, and it's near Christmas. And she goes, hey, where can I pick up one of those boxes of tangerines from, those mandarin oranges from, that we used to get from Japan? And the, remember those little wood boxes that we would get, and you'd break into them, and oh my God, you'd have tangerines for at least a couple of weeks until they're all gone. But we lived up here with not much fresh, to tell you the truth. You know, we'd get our canned vegetables, and I still to this day cannot stand canned vegetables, just because every day of my life growing up I had them. But it seems like we should be encouraging, you know, the economics. When we used to have the Bentley and Creamer's dairies with the milk and the eggs and the beef, when we'd have out there on Chien Hot Springs Road, the pig farm that was out there, things like that, and chicken. And it seems like a lot of people now are raising their own chickens and taking them to slaughter for themselves and getting the eggs and stuff like that. A lot of that's going on. So, you know, as you see those shelves dwindle, people are resourceful, and they will be doing that. The I think it was like 1974, I believe, that the people of the state of Alaska voted to move the capital, and it was to Willow. And then it came time to fund it, and they'd always come out with these astronomical funding numbers on how to fund the budget to what it was going to cost to move the capital to Willow. Now, my thought, and this is pains me to say this, but my thought is if you move the capital, move it to Anchorage. Just move it to Anchorage. It's easy to get to. It's a town that has an airport, big airport, and it is the largest hub of commuter aircraft in the state of Alaska, right there. And that's what you want. You want something accessible. You don't go from Fairbanks to Barrow. You go from Anchorage to Barrow. You don't go from Fairbanks to Kotzebue or Fairbanks to Nome. You go from Fairbanks to Anchorage to Kotzebue or Nome. That's how you do it. And so if you're going to move the capital, there you go. And remember 3 years ago when the first year of the Dunleavy administration, when they had the special sessions there, and Governor Dunleavy said, let's have it in his area there in the valley, Palmer. And the mean Democrats of the state house and whatever said, oh, no, we're not doing it there. We're going to have it in Anchorage. So they had it in Anchorage. And anyway, it gets interesting. It really does. But now, looking at our state house races again, we've been through District 35. You have District 36, Mike Kronk, and that's a big area. That's the one that had Goldstream put into it, and that area you had Salcha and Chena Hot Springs Road. I mean, and when I say Chena Hot Springs Road, I mean like mile 7 on of Chena Hot Springs Road, taken out of it. It used to be in Mike's district, but it's not anymore. Remember one of his first fundraisers, Representative Kronk had it at the Two Rivers Lodge up here, and that was neat to see. And it was in his district. And that is one big district. And no one else has jumped in, but I'm sure someone else will jump in there. So you look at that. And then you look at your two senatorial races, Districts 31 and 32. That has Scott Kawasaki as the incumbent. It looks like we have Mayor Matherly. And haven't seen much from either of them yet. And my advice to Mayor Matherly is, this is your time to jump on it. This is your time to be fundraising, to get out there, to be here in doing what you're supposed to do to run, because your opponent can't. And this is the time you do it. This is the time you do it. Then you have Districts 33 and Districts 34, and you have Senator Meyer there. and no one else has jumped in there yet. We'll see if someone does. But that's a, you know, he, in a primary, surprised everyone. He beat Senator Coghill. And could he have done it this year in a the way it's set up now, and then go into a general election and beat Senator Coghill? I sort of doubted it 2 years ago, but this year he's proved himself an effective leader. And Senator Rob Myers has proved himself very representative of the areas that he represents. And that area with District 34 that has a Hopkins-Tomaszewski race in it, that's even a little bit more conservative for him. So that is, you know, he's very representative of it. Then you have Districts 35 and 36 with Click Bishop, very fine gentleman. He represents Districts 35 and 36 very well. He's a Republican, and people get mad at him because he's not a hard right Republican. And people on the left get mad at him because he's too far right of a Republican. So Senator Bishop probably represents it very well there. And, you know, if you're from North Pole, you're probably grouching about Senator Bishop. If you're from Fairbanks, you're probably not grouching about Senator Bishop. But a good, fine gentleman, a very fine gentleman from Fairbanks here, graduated from Lathrop, where he met his wonderful wife. And condolences to him. He lost his father a couple weeks ago. And just a very fine person. So that's our interior races. But, you know, you have to remember that this is the year of ranked choice voting. And what that means and how it means. And I think it's really going to be neat to see what happens in the governor's race. Because, you know, it'd usually be a main event with Walker versus Dunleavy. Walker, who basically, he did not leave on a good note 3 years ago with what was going on in his administration and his lieutenant governor. And boy, he had to pull up stakes. And you know, he had Begich running against him as a Democrat. But this year, you have this lineup where they only choose four. And you have, on the right side of this equation, you have Dunleavy, you have Kirka from the Valley, and now you have the mayor of the Kenai. And then on the left-hand side of the equation, you've got Walker, and then you have the legislature who represented downtown Fairbanks, who's extremely left. Now, you know, just think the way ranked voice choice voting lines up. I think it's very strategic in favor of Governor Dunleavy to have both Kirka and the mayor of the Kenai get involved in this. I'll explain more of that later. We're going to take a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name's Guy.
Hello, Guy.
Just in case you've run out of Republican people to talk about.
How are you doing, sir? This is our first phone call this year. How are you doing? How's 2022 doing for you?
Oh, just lovely. Dunleavy's speaking tonight. We'll see if he explains why he wants ATV vehicles. We'll see if he mentions Craig Campo as the sponsor of it. But we'll see why he thinks that ATVs on highways in the interior is a great idea. I think we're going to have some people die, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, I want to ask you, who's running for city mayor?
Oh, myself and as far as I know, just myself and Valerie Therrien. Yeah, you beat her once or twice, I think.
What's that now?
You beat her once or twice, I think.
Well, I was just about to ask if you remembered that. I don't know if you've been around here that long. But no,
I have, but then again, maybe, you know, sometimes my memory fails me, sir. But go ahead.
She made my 1990 campaign. I had run in 86 with no money, and I ran in 88 with no money, and I filed for an open seat in 1990, and And she really, really, really wanted to be back on the assembly. She'd been on the assembly and been defeated for re-election, and she'd been on city council. I can't imagine. I haven't laid out the years, but I mean, that's an incredible string. But she'd been on city council and been defeated for re-election, which must, that must go way back to into the Ted Lane years. And
oh yeah,
gosh, I can't even think of the who were the city mayors back then. But anyway, she'd been on both bodies twice, on both bodies once.
Yeah, wasn't Nelson the city mayor back then?
Yeah, Nelson perhaps.
And neighbor down the street from mine.
You'll think about it.
Yeah.
Your memory's getting as bad as mine. but I'll tell you, my memory of 1990 is real crystal clear in my mind. I'd run twice, hadn't made an impact on anybody, had no money, spent about $2,000 on ads. Harold Gillum was basically my only supporter of note. So I, 8 o'clock in the morning, first day, I filed for this, what was an open seat on the borough assembly at that time. And back in those days, there were a lot of multiple candidate races. There were frequently four, five, six candidates running for a seat.
Yeah.
So it really behooved you to get in there right first hour of the first day and file and maybe scare off some of your competition or whatever. But anyway, it was a good thing to do. And I filed right at the beginning of the first day, and she saw that, and she had seen my two little campaigns with no money and no interest, basically. And so she thought, boy, this is easy pickings, and she filed against me. And from there on, everybody stayed away because they looked at this and said, boy, we don't want to get between those two people.
It was game on. Yeah, it was game on.
The other candidates all went to the other seats, and I think there probably were other open seats, so it wasn't too unattractive. Anyway, it was Satley versus Therrien, and it was fantastic, and I really thank her for starting my little local political career, such as it was, because maybe I've told you this. I don't think I've told it on the air, but I was hanging out at Larry Baker's bookstore out in University Center back then. I don't think I had a phone at home. So I was hanging out at Larry's bookstore in the afternoons, and people knew they could get hold of me. And the week or two, 3 weeks before the election in October, I'd be hanging out, and half the phone calls to that bookstore were for me. It's unbelievable. Lynn and Larry didn't know what to make of it because they wanted to sell books. But I was getting phone calls there, and I had by that time I had some money, and thanks to Valerie, and I had ordered I think 500 yard signs, and I saw way, way, way too many yard signs. I still have them after 7 campaigns, I guess. So I've got a pile of signs, but I had yard signs, I had painted signs, I had flyers, little paper things to put in your window. I was equipped, so people would call the bookstore, and I'll tell you, you know, and I'm not really exaggerating this very much, the conversation would basically be, you're Satley, you're running for the assembly. I was on the planning commission at the time, so I guess I'd mentioned that. They'd say, okay, you're Satley. And I'd say, yeah. And they'd say, your opponent is Therrien. And I'd say, yeah. And they'd say, what's your address? I want to send you a check. I mean, there was no sales pitch at all, David. It was about a 1 minute phone call. And I'll tell you, I raised $10,000, which I'd never seen. And she spent more than that. She outspent me on that at the end of the thing. She outspent me, and because she could see the writing on the wall, and I beat her. I beat her soundly in a 2-person race, and that started my little career, which went up and down. And I was later defeated and reelected and defeated, blah blah blah. But that was the beginning of it. And so God bless anybody who runs against her. You know, I don't know if I'm going to sign up for your campaign, but basically anybody who's running against her, I'll probably support. And then, you know, I don't know, 20 years later, I don't know the year, but she filed against me again, and she lost again. So, you know, it was
she came back for more,
borough.
Yeah. What the heck?
It was city versus borough, and I had good ads, moving images. Maureen and Stewart did a wonderful TV spot for me, and I just ran the edges off that thing on TV. And this guy walking in the woods with steam coming out of his mouth and leaves falling around me, and I was talking into the camera. And hard work, honest effort, and common sense spending. And I just ran the hell out of that and ran a little newspaper ad which quoted her. She'd made some stupid comments about unification of the city and borough, which was a little red herring for people in the borough anyway. I didn't want to bail out the old city. And she'd waffled, and she was trying to straddle.
Can I get you to hang on for a minute? I got to take a quick commercial break, okay?
I'm sorry. I've been bad. Get rid of me here?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, please don't. I mean, lock you in here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
I love
Honey, you want to come out? I haven't seen you since Glass Doctor installed our custom shower enclosure.
No thanks.
Well, you can't keep eating breakfast in the shower. And laminating your magazines is getting expensive. You remember we have guests coming over tonight, right?
Oh, I'm sure they'd love to see the shower.
It's our neighbors, and I highly doubt they want to be hanging out in our bathroom.
The shower's so good, you'll never want to leave. Visit GlassDoctor.com today and schedule an appointment online.
Fairbanks Urology is announcing Men's Health Weekend, Saturday, February 5th, and Sunday, February 6th, offering free men's health checkup and blood test. Call 328-0989 to make an appointment. New patients get a free blood test, including PSA for prostate cancer screening and testosterone test, plus a prostate and ED checkup. Men over 50, you need a yearly PSA blood test, and Fairbanks Urology is offering it free of charge for all new patients at their Men's Health Weekend.
Did you know Italians don't eat bread as an appetizer? It's tradition for the bread to be used at the end of the meal to mop up the sauce on the plate. Good thing you don't live in Italy, because once our waitstaff brings over your homemade garlic bread, it is nearly impossible not to grab some immediately after smelling it. You can try to be Italian and save the bread until after your meal, or you can be yourself and eat it before, during, and after.
Giraldo's Italian Restaurant and Pizzeria. Say yes to garlic, say yes to Giraldo's.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Drop by the Tire Guys for free tire inflation. Tire pressure is key to safety, fuel economy, and long tire life. GCR Tires and Service, taming the Alaskan road. Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR Weather.
Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance for scattered snow showers. High temperatures reach up to 26. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow tonight, lows around 9 below. Mainly cloudy skies. Highs level off around 0 tomorrow. A blend of clouds and sun. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 20 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. On the radio here with a very wonderful person. How are you doing there, sir?
Yeah, Guy Satley back here. I guess I was in the middle of rambling on about a story from a previous campaign. And when Valerie filed against me again, I don't know, in the, you know, 10 years, 15 years ago, mostly I ran a print ad that quoted her. There were a lot of forums back then. Arctic Alliance would have a forum, and everybody in the world had a forum. And thank God it was all taped and sometimes videotaped, and there was no confusion about who said what. And there was some question about unification of the city and borough, and we can get rid of one mayor's office and get rid of one assembly or council, and it'll save all this money. And in fact, it wouldn't end up saving any money at all because people had different functions. But there had been a question about unification, and previously there had been a unification charter commission back in the dim, dark years of the in the 80s, which was still on people's mind, and especially folks like myself living out in the woods 10 miles from town. And so there had been a question at one of these forums about unification, and Valerie had said into the microphone, she'd waffled it and said, well, it's, you know, it's pluses and minuses and yada, yada, yada. But fortunately, she seemed to come down on the side of unifying the whole operation. And all I had to do, and I'll tell you, that's the best money I ever spent, David. Spent it with the News Miner. It was a two-column ad, two columns by about four-inch, five-inch, with my name at the bottom of it, and it simply quoted her. It quoted the question, and it quoted her answer, and then my answer, which, of course, I could write, since it was my ad. And it was Valerie Therrien on unification, and I ran that. It was a, you know, eight column inch, 10 column inch, 12 column inch ad. It probably cost $200 an insertion, and I ran that sucker on Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays and sometimes more. I just ran it and ran it and ran it, and I don't know how many thousand people saw it. But that was the best money I ever spent on print advertising. And by golly, and it was very much a rural versus urban election. I mean, I'm sure Valerie had the city vote, and I had the vote up in the hills. And back then, that's what you needed. And so twice, she lost twice.
Okay, I'm going to take another phone call, okay,
yes,
sir?
Yes, go.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good morning. You're on KFVR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, Dave. This is Charles.
Hello, Charles.
I'm missing Frank Turney. But just a comment. Hey, my topic about politics is biggest money waster of all time, the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend. It was Angela Rodell. Did she get canned because of a disagreement with BlackRock or what? Well, you know about BlackRock and stakeholder capitalism and Larry Fink and what they're going to have to do involving the election.
Well, and, I don't know the exact reason why she was terminated, but I've had people speculate that it should have been done 2 years ago, that the chief financial officer is the one who makes all the investments, and she was getting a lot of blowback from people not liking to work for her or with her. And she was starting to have reviews that showed that. And anyway,
wasn't about Alaska and
I have no idea that happens under executive session.
The PFD investing in Alaska and BlackRock.
Well, you know, well, they're not supposed to really invest in Alaska. As as the person who wrote the statute, Sterling Gallagher, on about 2 weeks ago on my show, he said that we. That way, there's nothing political in Alaska. You couldn't use this as a political leverage in Alaska, you know, for having a governor or a U.S. senator or state senator or some elected official saying, okay, you know, prop up this. And the first thing they went out and did this year is they went out and bought Trident Seafoods. So, anyway. So, we'll see what happens. Or something like that. I don't know if it was Trident, but they bought a business. So, we'll see what happens. Charles, thank you for the phone call, sir. I got to wrap up here. Okay, you take care, buddy. Bye. Anyway, Fairbanks, that is our show for today. It's a Tuesday. Tomorrow, I have Nick Nugent.
Pure energy.
Sorry about that. On tomorrow, I have Nick Nugent, and we're going to be discussing the history of the NC Company in the state of Alaska. You have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.